minutes to 10. Here's Wayne in Belfast. Morning to you, Wayne.
Morning there,
right,
Steve.
There's loads of calls coming in, so let's go with you now. Go ahead, Wayne.
Right, well, as you will know, that social deprivation affects across the board, regardless if you're Protestant Unionist Loyalist community or Socialist or Nationalist Republican Catholic community, and it's just the way things are for all working class. But as a self-admitted young loyalist in North Belfast, we do see ourselves as being put down because, in our eyes, the media paints us as thugs and hoods, and it's hard to brand loyalists all under the one banner because it's such a wide church of ideas. You've everything from the hyper-British loyalty that you find to Ulster nationalism, that belief for Ulster independence, which are still Ulster loyalists, loyal to this country. And for me especially, I see the media just painting us, just remembering people like the Shukris, Adair, the Greggs from East Belfast, and just making us all look like thugs and hoods. So do you expect young loyalists to start working with the media, working with politicians, and trying to bridge that gap between unionism and loyalism?
Well, here's the score, Wayne. Let me just reply to that. Just like this, right? You see, if you don't engage with the media, you don't then complain that you're not being heard. Because the media is one of those platforms that you will get your message across. Common sense. Don't shut the door to a platform that gives you a voice. And number two, and I said it last night, and I'm going to say it again. What is the media? And just as you resent this broad brushstroke label that you accuse the media of portraying, remember what the media is. The media isn't something that's abstract. The media is people who are working in Northern Ireland, who some of them might share your views, some of them might not. They should bring an impartiality to what they're doing on their programmes, but they're ordinary people working in this community. That's what the media is.
All I can say is that I know we need to use the media and try and promote ourselves and change the opinion of loyalist areas, but there's a view, I'm not saying it's my view, I'm saying there's a view that there's a feeling that people like yourself who come from unionist areas are trying their hardest to distance themselves from it, to be more widely accepted by the people in Northern Ireland.
And do you know how offensive that is to me? Do you know how offensive that is? Do you know how much that winds me up when someone like you says that? Because someone like you.
I'm only putting forward the view.
Yeah, but let me tell you. Let me just tell you this. It is fundamentally wrong. So here's what I do when I get up in the morning, right? I think I'm an ordinary guy. I think I'm lucky to have a job I have. I'm trying to hold down the job. And I genuinely try to be fair to both communities. And you see, if there's anyone from within your community or the nationalist community and you think I have an agenda, you're wrong. If you think I'm terrible at what I do, you might be right. I don't know. But I'm telling you now, don't start this stuff. Because I've heard it over the last couple of weeks that I have an agenda. I do not. And I'll tell you what, I went up into that band hall. I encouraged people like you to come on. And I'm saying this as a matter of a statement on this programme. Whoever wants to come on this programme, we'll find the time for your voice to be heard.
And that's understandable, and it's just maybe down to a trust issue within loyalist unionist communities. And as I said, there is a gap between loyalism and unionism at the minute, and the more that gap widens, the more we're basically shooting ourselves in the foot, because if we're not working with the politicians, and the politicians don't want to work with us, or aren't showing an interest in what's happening at ground level in loyalist areas, then of course problems are just going to get worse.
So do you know what to do, Wayne? See, if the politicians from whatever persuasion are not delivering for you, can I suggest something for you to do? Right? You listening? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Put pressure on them. Use programmes like this to embarrass them, to put pressure on them. Use programmes like this to progress your ideas, and be that developing a new political party, be that encouraging these politicians that they've a lot to lose if they don't deliver for you. That's a lot stronger. Get into politics is another alternative. But lose the chip on your shoulder that the world's out to get you.
I'm not saying the world is out to get us. It's a popular view, and it may be a misconception, and there's evidence to support it, and there's evidence against it, as we know. And
do you vote?
I only recently turned 18 there in June. And if I was to vote, there's no unionist party I would vote to. In my eyes, the DUP, if I got the ground roots, I don't have any support for the DUP at all myself, because I don't like the legacy of Paisley. It's just my view. And the Ulster Unionists are seen as an old and dead party. So, I mean, there's no one out there new. Sinn Féin are brilliant because they bring themselves across and the Republican side is a new youthful party that get things done. So they'll always have the support, but the DUP are trying that, but it's not really working. And I think the statistics show that on more people in the unionist side don't vote. But it's just the way things are.
And tell me this, you're an 18-year-old man. You're an incredibly interesting caller this morning, right? Tell me what a political party would have to do in terms of what would they have as their priority in order to attract someone like you?
Priority? Dealing with social affliction across the board. I'm not saying just in one community or the other, because that sort of thing gets you nowhere. But across the board, dealing with social deprivation. But other than that, I'd be looking for an Ulster People First party. Not British, not Irish, but a sort of Ulidian type party that would look after the interests of this country before anything else.
Tell me what you mean, though. Get real. You're a brilliant caller this morning, Wayne. And I'll go this far. I'm not agreeing with what you're saying, by the way, but you're articulate. Now, tell me this. From within your community, tell me about the real life observations you have that you want changed. Look around your community. What are you talking about?
Housing's a big one. There's a lot of areas land derelict. Now, I'm from the Westland, and we don't even have a shop. Now, there's shops on the Cave Hill Road, and the Cave Hill Road, for the most part, fine, middle class. There was never really that much sectarian tension on it. But recently, we've seen a raise in it, and some people don't feel safe going up to the spar or going up to the wee shop on the Cave Hill Road at night. And we just want to be listened to, because we see ourselves as having nothing. Now, that may be wrong, and that may be us just victimising ourselves, but we see, in this area especially, that there's nothing for us. And if you're telling the young, sorry to go back to this, but if you're telling the young sometimes to hear that loyalists are thugs and hoods and they're subhuman, they're nothing worthless, what sort of, there's no basis for national pride. There's nothing to motivate these young men to get into politics or to stand up for something decent.
There's no greater motivation to get into politics or to engage in politics or to find some party in politics that you can support if there is so much wrong within your community. That's the big motivation, is it not?
It just gets back to the fact that people have that big mistrust of politicians. And as I said, it's shooting yourself in the foot. We're our own worst enemy at times. And it's simple fact that we need to sort of move forward and try and engage ourselves and become a part of the solution.
But do you not?
And what I've said before to people is that if the politicians don't represent us, then we should try and represent ourselves. But it's a long road ahead, and we just need to take it in small steps.
Do you not think the argument, Wayne, is far more powerful? If you've got an individual, be they from the loyalist community, nationalist community, whatever, do you not think that the argument of that you want your area prioritised, you want it fixed, you want investment, you want money, is that not much more powerful if you're not saying in the same sentence, the nationalists get everything, the them and us mentality, they get everything, we don't? What about a collective approach? That both working class communities in areas of deprivation say, we're not tolerating this anymore. We as a collective are not tolerating this anymore. So the old argument of them and us gets away. And what you're essentially saying is, because you are as good as anyone else, you do deserve as much investment as anyone else. That's an incredibly powerful statement to make rather than the old rhetoric of them and us.
And again, I agree with you. Are you familiar with Common Sense and the work of John McMichael?
Yeah.
Well, that there, I would like to see some of that. Well, we've got it for the Good Friday Agreement, but I would like to see some of the other stuff that the unite beyond the religious divide for a common goal, make a common identity across the board. I'd like to see that put into place because it is a working class issue and working class people have always been deprived in most societies. And that there, them and us mentality, it does cripple us from time to time. But it's just down to how this country is and sort of the scars of the past. It's a mistrust thing.
You know, I'll declare my hand a little bit to you for as much as I can, right? And this was no bias towards your community. I would have felt like this no matter what community I was in. And I said this to Jerry Kelly last night. When I was up there in that band hall, the question, the answer that really got to me to one of my questions was when I said, how many of you don't have a job? And I looked around and all these hands went up, you know, of people in their 20s. And when I then talked to them, and they clearly had no sense that there was anybody fighting for them to create employment for them. And I walked away after I did that filming and I got into my big car, right? And, I've got a couple of quid. I don't have any problems with money or any of that. And I'm trying to be honest with you here, Wayne. And I drove home sad because I just thought to myself, do you know what? That's not right.
And
it's not right.
To bring back what May Blood said too, it's we don't see politicians until it's time to vote, really, is around here. And that there about unemployment, I have got a lot of friends who are slightly older than me, and I'm in a band myself in the south side of the city. And there's people in it who are on the bread line because they've lost work and have kids. And they've lost their houses because they couldn't pay their rent and they're living with parents. And the whole situation is just depressing. And it really makes you feel, what's the point? For them anyway, when they look at the whole situation. And what's worrying me is, and maybe it should worry everyone, is we see people in Sinn Féin who have colourful pasts, let's just say, and now sit in positions of power. We see a growth and a small amount of people on the Republican side, these dissidents, trying to blow us back a few years into the past. But on the Loyalist side, you see young lads coming up now, especially the generation below me, and they're going, well, violence worked for the Republican movement, and they can pressure us by taking up arms, then why don't we? And that's a dangerous way of thinking, because no one wants to go back to conflict, but how, on any ground, can you say that violence doesn't work? Because in their eyes, what they see is a system that embraced it, and that using violence to sort of, as a bargaining tool to get what you want, which is wrong. And we don't want to return to the past, and I haven't seen the any extent the hell of the past, and I don't want to, but...
There's this new Northern Ireland you talk about now, Wayne. The reality is, you know, for those people who engage in violence, they are going to be labelled as thugs. And you mentioned this earlier on. You know, good, decent people in this country, there's too much wrong with Northern Ireland that needs fixed for us also to be spending money and dealing with the pain and the hurt that violence brings. You know, you were talking about parades and the Parades Commission decision and all of this type of stuff. Let's remember that there were police officers who are decent human beings, who have families, who have children, and some of them ended up in hospital.
Yes, I'm not condoning violence or support it in any way. There is a big mistrust of the police now, and maybe it's a mirror of the old way of the nationalists not trusting the RUC, now the unionist loyalists say don't trust the PSNA, and it's a mirror of events. But what it is it's getting to a stage where there's that much anger in loyalist communities that it is becoming dangerous. That situations like that can just erupt out of basically over the smallest things.
I hear that. And look, the reason we've done this, the reason I made that film, is because we got a sense and some people steered us to the increasing anger that they say there is within the loyalist community. You heard it in that film last night. Someone described it as a powder keg, they described it. You know, my observation of someone like you, Wayne, is that someone like you, and, you know, it's not for me to say whether you're talking rubbish or not, because some people will say you are. But
fair enough.
But when someone like you can talk in such an articulate way and you seem passionate about your community, why the hell are you not putting so much pressure on the political system to deliver?
We tried. I
wonder how embarrassed.
Yeah, and I've been.
You see your voice this morning, sir. You see your voice. Your voice will be ringing round Stormont this morning. I promise you it will. People will be talking about you today. Don't underestimate the power of being articulate.
And my only wish would be for more young loyalists to not be ashamed of it, to be proud of their community and try and make it somewhere safe and better to be. My ideal area would have low crime and low drugs, but it's not going to happen where people think they're worthless or where people ideally just want easy money, because that's always a temptation. But we need to work at the core roots of these problems on both sides of the divide to get rid of them, because they're not welcome in any side of the community, loyalist or Republican. We don't want drugs and crime in our areas, but it's just the way things are, and there have been gangsters that have hijacked the old so-called cause for their aim, and there have been politicians before that...
See, just before we go to the news, sorry to interrupt, because we're heading towards the news. You're 18. Have you got a job?
No, I'm currently unemployed and looking for a job. I've applied a few things. I stayed on and done my A-levels and
Are you optimistic of getting a job? Are you optimistic for doing well for yourself in life?
I'm not too sure. I don't know what's going to happen.
And do you think your background and the community you're in, you come from a working class area, do you think that will hold you back?
I think it's down to me how far I get, to be honest. But I do think where you come from and some of the aspects behind it do have an influence over your end, where you end up. And there is those that make it well off and do well for themselves. But then there's always those that get held back. And
here's what I want to say to you this morning, because I've got to go to the news. Thank you so much for calling.